We're going to read verses 18 through 26. 18 through 26. We had the feeding of the 5,000 last week. And so I believe we have less than 6 months before the cross in the Bible. And so a lot's going to happen between now and then, and Luke gives us much of that. And so we jump here to a special thing, interaction that Jesus has with the 12. And look at verse 18. It came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And I think this is the 12. I think he had an intimate conversation. And I believe that conversation extends all the way through verse 27. We're going to go through 26 this morning. 27 will lead us into next week's. And it's this private conversation with the 12. That's what I believe is happening here. And the title of the message, The Great Privilege of Declaring Who Jesus Is. The Great Privilege of Declaring Who Jesus Is. Verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, and it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, which is Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And so I got distracted. I was trying to read while I looked for the clicker. All right, let me go back to that. Sorry about that. Verse 20. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. That's the shocking part. We'll get to it later in the message. But after Peter declares the truth, he says in Matthew that flesh and blood had not revealed this to him, but the Father in heaven had. But Peter says, the Christ of God, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised to the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. We'll stop there. Title of the message again, The Great Privilege of Declaring Who Jesus Is, right? We just sang the song, Is He Worthy? This is all about Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. Now, you'll hear that from false teachers, from good teachers, but I want you to understand that if Jesus isn't who He said He was, we are wasting our time. Religion is for the birds. But Jesus Christ is who will change your life. Attending church is not religion. It's in obedience to the Lord, part of His plan, how that we will be able to honor Him better. This is part of God's plan, that we assemble together. That's what the word church comes from, the word ecclesia, which means a called out assembly, that we would get together with believers, like-minded believers in Christ, encourage one another, worship the King, and then go. If Jesus isn't who He said He was, then don't waste your time. Many people declare that when they don't assemble. But that's not the number one indication that says they're not a Christian. Tons of people go to church and are going to split hell wide open. That's not the indicator. Today, I think what we see is the greatest indicator of whether you're a believer or not. First thing I just wanted to show you with this passage. Oh, I can't even read. Now it's on. I thought I had it on, but it says off. Man, those are two words that look similar when you can't see. All right. I was about to go to the front row and say, what is that word there? I should remember, down is on, up is off. I'll try to remember that. First thing I want you to see is we should understand what others believe about Jesus. Jesus asked this question. Now, a lot happens between the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm just going to continue to follow Luke so that we can see what Luke says. In between the feeding of the 5,000, that's when Jesus put them in a ship and constrained them to go to the other side. And that's when Peter walked on the water and Jesus has interaction. But this particular account, Jesus wants to highlight in Luke, and that's what I want to focus on. And he says this, verse 18, "And it came to pass as he was alone praying." You're going to find Jesus praying a lot. "His disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answered, said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." This is just a freebie note. It doesn't take long. We should understand what others believe about Jesus, because that's really what matters. It's why when I train people about door knocking, I tell them I don't ask, "Do you have a church home?" I don't care. You guys are like, man, okay. I care about them. But if I say, "Do you have a church home?" Everybody that I would visit says they'll connect themselves to a church. And then where do I go? Our church is better than your church. Right? All of a sudden you get into a church discussion. I don't want to have a church discussion. I want to have a discussion about Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not upset when people, you know, "We just want to invite you to church." Again, that's not how I would train you. And if you go out with me, you know, don't be like, ha, ha, ha. I'm just telling you, when we go to doors, we talk to people, I want to find out, what do you believe about Jesus? That's where it begins. That's, if you don't have that right, nothing else matters. Who is Jesus? Understand what people believe about Jesus. It's critical. You want to get into conversations about Jesus. You don't want to get into conversations about church. You don't want to get into conversations about sin. We can talk about sin that separates us, but I'm not, you know, I deal with homosexuals a lot, and it's popular. They like to come up and ask you these questions when they find out that you're a preacher, and I don't even address their homosexuality. I'll say, all I'd like to do is have a Bible study with you, and let's find out who Jesus is. I could argue till the cows come home, till the cow jumps over the moon. You can see how I connected the dots, all right? Till the cows come home, whatever. Stop trying to use cliches that I don't remember. And I want you to understand this. We should know what people believe about Jesus. I'm not worried where you go to church. Now, when you tell me where to go to church, that tells me a whole bunch, right? At least of what that church teaches, and I'm hopeful that it hasn't infected most people, right? But I never ask. And I know there's better ways to do it, but you know, when I'll say, you know, Hope Cares, I'll say, "We just came by. We want to be a good neighbor. Is there anything we can pray about?" And it's been stunning this year. Stunning. I'm talking 80, 90% of the time people go, "Nope, it's all good." I'll go, "Well, that's fantastic." I'll say, "But we're all going to depart from this earth. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" And people say, "Oh, Steve, you should be a, you know, hey, great. Do it your way, but get to the gospel. You don't have to do it my way. I want to find out." And so, you know, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Then I ask him, I'll say, "Well, why should God let you in heaven?" Number one reason, I'm a good person. And then I'll ask this, "What about Jesus?" And this is shocking. "Oh, well, yeah, him too." Uh-huh. When they tell me, let me just tell you this, if you're saved, you should know why you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with you. It is the work of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could satisfy the justice of God. He's the one that did what we couldn't do. We talked about it this morning. He fulfilled all righteousness. He didn't do anything wrong, did everything right, did exactly what the Father wanted, and then he sacrificed himself for you. He took upon himself every one of your sins. It wasn't generic. It was very specific. He died. He took the eternal damnation for every one of your sins, so you don't have to be eternally damned. That is a great God, is it not? He would have been very just not to send his Son, not to send Jesus to be sacrificed and to damn every one of us to eternal damnation. That's what we deserve, and he could have done that and been a loving God. Yes. I want to tell you, it's the greatest demonstration of love that he sent Christ, but he would have been loving if he didn't send Christ. You understand that? He didn't have to do that to be loving. But he loved us nonetheless. Loved us. And so we should understand what people believe about Jesus. The real question is, though, comes down to this, is who do we think Jesus is? Look at verse 20 and 22. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. And so I just want you to please. If you're lost this morning, will you at least admit this? Just listen to me. I'm looking at every eye. Every eye looking at me. Thank you. Up. Every eye looking at me. Thank you. Better still be looking at me. Thank you. I'm glad. Every eye looking at me? Got it. Good. It's good. My wife is refuting. No, she's not. Jolie? Every eye. Here's the key. I want you to think about this. Every eye looking at me. Every eye looking at me. Are you truly a follower of Christ? Have you truly put your faith and trust in Christ? I want you to understand this. Be honest with yourself and say, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. And then I want to ask you this, why? I really want you to be conscious of this. Have you put your personal faith in Jesus? He will change your life. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? It's where it begins. And let me tell you, then there's great honor and service to the Lord. But here's the struggle. The struggle is, I know I have people that sit week after week after week after week, and you're lost. I loved our teens. They were so honest with me. I got to do vacation Bible school with them, 14 or 15 of them every night. And I asked them one night, I said, how many of you have truly put your faith and trust in Christ? And only about half raised their hands. I love the honesty. But I want to ask you this. Who do you think Jesus is then? If you have rejected Jesus Christ, and if you haven't put your faith and trust. Now, this was telling to me. I asked him, I said, well, you know, what is the gospel? What is eternal life? How do you receive eternal life? And I explained it night after night after night. I want you to understand this. Eternal life doesn't come through anything that I do. It doesn't come through baptism. It doesn't come through church attendance. It doesn't come from being good. It comes from faith. It's a turning, that's a repentance, turning in faith to Christ. He has done all that I need, and by faith he saves me. By faith he removes my sins. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. I ask those of you in our attendance, you know you're lost, what is keeping you from believing? I'm thrilled. I want you to come week after week. You keep coming, but I want you to be very conscious of this. If what the Bible says is true and you've rejected Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. I'm not interested in who men say that Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Personally, and is there evidence that you've truly believed? I tell people this all the time. Our confession will reveal what we really think about Jesus. I want to show you Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. This is the same account that Jesus is addressing. This is in Matthew chapter 10. And when we talk about, talking about confessing Christ, he says this. Whosoever therefore, look at Matthew chapter 10, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If you go back to this context, it's not talking. So many people say, well, what about Peter? He denied Jesus three times. This is talking about a lifetime of denial, a lifetime of confession. I want to tell you, here's how you will know, are you saved? Is, do you speak of Jesus? Do you tell others of Jesus? If you don't, it's a huge red flag. I can't know your heart. Faith is so simple, yet it's radically transforming. It is so simple, that's why it'd be difficult for you to know, have you truly believed? Well, I will tell you, do you have a compulsion? Do you have a desire? And do you... is it your pattern that you confess him before men? He will confess you before his Father. But whosoever shall deny me, this is a lifetime. There are people that sit in church week after week after week, not just our church, and they never tell anybody about Jesus. If that's you, I do not have any confidence that you're saved. Are you at least compelled to tell somebody about Jesus? Does it ever come to your mind to tell them about Jesus? And then you've got to overcome your fear. And what we're going to learn today, you're going to learn a ton today. What are the reasons why you won't? Who do you say that he is? Who do you speak of? I'm not talking on outreach on Wednesday night at 6. That's something we do corporately, collectively as a church, and I think we should. I want that. We can do more of that. We never can do enough. But I'm talking about when you're home, when you interact with people, when you speak to people. It is, it's just, when do you share Jesus Christ? Is Jesus on your lips? Do you share Jesus Christ? Your confession will tell everything. Now, then this great question. So men, who thinks they have an answer? Who thinks? Why did Jesus tell them not to tell others he was the Christ? Who thinks they have an answer? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's an answer. All right, Sean, what's your answer? So maybe, so you're giving the answer that maybe he was just trying to control the crowds. Maybe. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. All right, Sister Carla, tell Jesse what your answer is, and Jesse, tell me. Wasn't time for him to reveal who he was. Randall. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Okay, I'm just trying to just listen. Okay. Okay. That would be amazing that, let me walk through. I'm going to tell you possible but unlikely reasons. All right. So my first one, Jesus wanted to manage the crowds, mange the crowds, maybe man alive. Who's the typist? So he wanted to manage the crowds. Now, you're natural. Yeah, that's from the Carnival Dictionary. Jesus wanted to manage the crowds. Early on in his ministry, he did. You know, he told his mother at the marriage at Cana, "It's not yet my time. It's not yet my time." Well, we have less than 6 months to go, and I think he had already been declaring that he is the Messiah, and so I don't think at this time he was managing the crowds. Otherwise, he wouldn't have just had free fish and chips for 15,000 to 25,000 just a few days before. So, not to manage the crowds. He did not want people to focus on his earthly kingdom. So that was sort of your Steve. So there's no doubt about this. I don't know if I, did I put John 15 up here? I didn't, okay. So listen to John 6:15. This is right after he fed the 5,000 men. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." That may, you know, he went up to the mountain, then he prayed, then he sent them out on a ship. So this is a reason that he's had often, and so I don't think this is the reason why he told the apostles not to tell anybody that he's the Christ. So let me help you with this. By telling the apostles, "Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ," he's basically telling them, stop sharing the gospel. Right? Can you share the gospel without saying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God? Can you share the gospel without sharing that? I'd say no. So that's what's so shocking about this, right? What is Jesus doing? Now, he is not removing the gospel. He would preach it. He would teach it. But I'm going to show you the first answer, I think, is directly from Scripture, and all the others are as well. The first answer I'm not going to emphasize as much, but you'll find this. So what do I think the real reasons were? Because this is shocking. How long did he preclude them from speaking that he was the Christ in the gospel? I don't know. What happens next, we'll see next week with the Transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, don't speak of this until when? After the resurrection. How long he told them not to tell anybody the Christ, I don't know. Understand, here's the scenario. He had sent them out, remember? Right prior to the feeding of the 5,000, he sent them out and they preached the kingdom of God and the gospel. You can't preach the gospel without saying, who is Jesus? Right? Right? Would you agree? You can't preach the gospel without preaching who Jesus is. Would you agree? I know, you guys are so nervous. So, this is the shocking part. He's saying, stop, guys, stop. That's why it's so puzzling. I'm going to give you what the scriptures say. Look at verse 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. I think part of it was he was protecting them. Now, how long? Remember this. Jesus protected them when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He said, let these men go! Let these men go! And Jesus, he said, hey, I must suffer many things. I must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And I think he might have wanted to take some heat off of them so that when they came for Jesus, they would come for him and him alone. And I think that's what he's saying here. But I want to show you something that's super interesting. I believe the apostles weren't right with God. That's what I believe the rest of the verses are. But I'm going to take you to they love the things of men versus the things of God. Let me show you this verse here. I know, a little smaller font because I had to get it on this slide. So if you know, it's 54 font. So can you all read that? Can you read that back there, Keaton? All right. That's good. Yeah, I went to the back. I didn't want to say you, Sister Carla, because you thought I'd been picking on your age. But you, when you said, yes, you can see it, that's awesome. And I didn't ask my mother-in-law because I don't care. No, I'm just so terrible. I do. Can you see it? That's good. All right. This is in the same account where Jesus is interacting with them. And you can see in verse 30, I included this. This is the account in Mark. He says, and he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them, same thing we see in Luke, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that openly, saying, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. It's always a mistake if you rebuke God, just a little hint. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savoreth not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You got to understand this. I don't believe they were right with God. They had just gone out preaching the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you that this command was to them, the 12. You'll never find anywhere in the scriptures that you're commanded never to tell that Jesus is the Christ. But he shut them down here. It's an amazing scripture. Part of it is you see Peter's spirit, and Jesus identifies it and said, you don't care about the things of God, you care about the things of men. What was the popular discussion? Who mentioned, it was you again, Steve, right, that mentioned they wanted an earthly king, not an eternal king. And so that was the buzz. That was the word. After Jesus fed the 5,000 men, they tried to make him king, and he escaped that. And so Peter and all of the other apostles were wanting Jesus to put a whooping on the Romans just like everybody else. And they cared about the things of men, not about the things of God. And they needed not put in their tail. And he said, you know what? Don't tell anybody, I will. You guys aren't doing it right. Now, I want to tell you this. Don't you dare use this message as an excuse to say, I'm not right with God, so I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. You know what you should do? Get right with God. If you're not telling people about Jesus, you're not right with God. And there's a point where he says, and I'm just telling you, it's me. I mean, these are the spiritual leaders. And he said, don't tell anybody that thing. It's shocking to me. This gives me a hint. They weren't right with God, and that they loved the things of men versus the things of God. Now, if you will, walk with me in verse 23. Verse 23 will mean so much more to you now, I think, within the context. I still believe he's only speaking to the 12. When he tells them this, the 12, except for Judas, so 11, they were born again, they were saved. Remember, they had an attitude during the feeding of the 5,000 that's later revealed after the feeding of the 4,000. That they were bitter at God. I don't know what the bitterness is. I think it was because he didn't let them go to that desert place and rest. We'll find out in heaven. But look at verse 23. And he said to them all, I still think this is just the 12. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to see they were not willing to deny themselves. Why would Jesus tell them this? Why would he tell them, no, stop telling people that I'm the Christ? Seems like the worst thing ever, right? I believe it was so that they would get things right and they would go out and preach with the right heart. You can have the right message. God can still use it. Look at Jonah. But what God wants, he wants us to be right with him and preach the truth with the right heart. But he says in verse 23, and this is to them, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I tell people going into ministry, if you can't deny yourself and take up your cross daily, don't go into ministry. I tell you, I drive by churches all the time from 9 to 5 and they're full. Ministry doesn't happen 9 to 5. Ministry happens second shift. Ministry happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I want you to understand that. It's don't kid yourself. If you can't deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him, don't get into ministry. I think I told you guys, I asked Deb, did I tell you this already? I asked her a couple months ago, I said, what's been the hardest thing about ministry? Have I said this from the pulpit? Have I said this? It's probably terrible. She doesn't want me to tell you. But I loved her honesty. And I've got to get this right. She said, I lost my husband. And being me, I said, here I am. And that's not good. I want to tell you that denying myself isn't having my wife feel like she lost her husband. So you pray for me. I need to be balanced. And but I'll tell you, she's the best woman God could ever have given to me. Now, let me tell you that. She doesn't hold bitterness against me. I keep telling her, man, the more I'm around, the less you'll like me. And but she understood that. She grew up with a pastor, her dad. And but you see, I still have to meet the needs of my wife and what she wants and all that thing, and she's not unreasonable. But I will tell you this, I believe this relates to all Christians. If you can't deny yourself, you won't be much of a difference maker. I want you to understand this. If you aren't willing to pour yourself into people's lives, then why are you telling them about Jesus? Just to get them to church and let everybody else take over? When you share the gospel with somebody so that God might save them and you might pour your heart and life into them, that they might walk with Jesus and they might then grow and they might be able to do the same. Life is not about us. Third thing I want you to see. It's in verse 23, verse 24 and 25, excuse me. 24 and 25, and he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The message today is you can have Jesus and everything else you want. That's not true. It's not true. You want to honor the king, you lose your life. You want to honor the Lord, you lose your life. Let me tell you what, you lose your life, you'll gain it. You save your life, you'll lose it. That's just the truth of the Bible. I want you to understand this. This was an issue with the apostles. I'm telling you, he said this, stop! Do not tell people I'm the Christ when your heart's not right with me. And I think part of it was protecting them because he needed to suffer many things. But then Peter rebuked him and he said this, you guys have to be in the position. And the apostles ultimately got there, did they not? They all died a martyr's death except for John. He died of old age on the Isle of Patmos. But I want us to look at this. Do we love the things of men versus the things of God? Are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to lose our lives? You know, and the denying ourselves is take up our cross daily. Not many Christians are. We're okay giving God an hour. We're okay giving Him an hour and a half. Baptists, we're okay doing that three times a week. Not all, but many. But you know this? I got me time. Ain't no place for that in the Bible. The Bible never encourages you to love yourself. Ever. It's a base assumption that you do. I try to encourage people for what they do well, and I want you to understand this. He tells the apostles this, and then fourth, he says this in verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Not everybody agrees with me. You probably may have thought it strange that I had Carla relay to Jesse. And I know Sister Carla wouldn't. Relay to Jesse what her thoughts were. And I want the thoughts of women in a context like this. And it's okay. You say, oh, Steve, you're just so silly. No, you know what the Bible says? I don't want to be ashamed of his words. The Bible says women ought to be silent in the church. That's like fingernails on chalkboard to most people. And do I highlight that? That's not that women are less than men. That's just when God says it, I'm going to say, okay, and it's super clear. It's not just in one passage. It's super clear. God wants his churches to be led by men. Let me tell you, we can't do it without men and women, but that's God's plan. And all I'm telling you is they were ashamed of Christ and his word because he says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I give you this context. Peter was ashamed of Jesus when Jesus said, I'm going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the priest. I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again the third day. And Peter said, no! That's ridiculous! So understand this. The apostles were preaching the gospel. Did they have to preach, Stephen, that he would rise on the third day for it to be the gospel? It's clear they weren't. Joe, did they have to preach that he would be crucified and mutilated and in such a fashion that he was? Did they have to preach that? They didn't. But what they had to preach is that the Christ, the one sent by God, the Messiah, he is here. And he will die for you and take the punishment for your sins. They preach that otherwise it's not the gospel. And he will take upon himself your sins, be punished of God for your sins, die and rise again. You know when they all thought he would rise again? At the end time when all of us will rise again. They preached the gospel and they were ashamed of this thought that Jesus said, I'm going to be butchered and I'm going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priest, and they said, not so. And I'm going to tell you, finally I get it. It's been a puzzlement to me forever. I don't think the mystery of his crucifixion was that much of a mystery to the apostles. They were just that stubborn, Bill, that said, no way, not happening, over and out, period. You don't deserve that. And they were right about the you don't deserve that, but they didn't understand he is going to do that, and he doesn't lie. He had told them, how many times have you seen the scriptures that he told them that? And you're like, what, are these guys the dumbest people in the world? No, they were the most stubborn people in the world. That ought to terrify us. The Bible says things over and over and over and over again, and we pick and choose what we want to hear and what we want to do. We're just like the apostles in a state of rebellion. Do you understand that? It's not for me to pick. It's not for me to choose. It's for me to know what God wants and for me to obey. Most shocking passage in all the scriptures. Why did Jesus tell them not to tell others that he was the Christ? They weren't right with him. Here's the interesting thing. Every believer, every true believer in here knows this. You can be in sin and you still are compelled to tell people about Jesus. Nowhere will you find in the scripture that he ever commands us not to tell people. But you do find the heart of God here. He wants us to declare who Jesus is with a clean heart and clean hands. You see, oh yes, when I was saved, all my sins were forgiven. You better believe it. It was a judicial act. But my sin still dishonors him today. Do you understand that? Oh, I won't be condemned for my sin. But oh, I can bring reproach upon Christ and his work by sinning today. You understand that? It is this, what God wants us to do. He wants us to tell the world about him. This is a top five shocking verse to me. That Jesus told him not to tell others the gospel. Don't tell them I'm the Christ. I don't know how long that lasted. It looks like it at least lasted through the feeding of the 4,000. And then, when they got right, they were unleashed. It's shocking. There's never a commandment that tells us not to tell. That's why that one's so shocking for me. If you will allow, study this passage. It makes so much more sense to me. You know why I won't tell people about Jesus? Because I love the things of men versus the things of God. I'm not willing to deny myself. I'm not willing to lose my life. And I'm actually ashamed of Jesus and his word. Let me tell you, it was given to the 12, and it so relates to me. You've heard me say a million times, the problem with America are Christians. Lost people are just lost people. We Christians, or people that claim to be Christians, never talk about them. Let me tell you, churches are full of that. I've walked into many, I've preached in many. They're full of people that never tell someone about Jesus. I will tell you what when I study the Bible, if you are a person sitting in church week after week, you may give offerings, you may tithe, you may do all the right things, but if you don't tell people about Jesus, it should terrify you. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. And when you are denied before the Father, I believe you are cast into outer darkness. Jesus, he told them the most shocking thing, and it was because of sin. Oh, Christian, let's do what's right so that we can speak of Christ and be clean vessels, clean hands, clean hearts to tell others about Jesus. And let me ask you this final thing. If you know you're lost, I beg you, may today be the last day that you've ever lived without Jesus. You've lived all your life without him. Will you trust him? He will save you. We will help you. We will teach you. And what will happen is when you're saved, you got to tell somebody about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, this passage has been so good for me. I've